The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience, it's Dr. Dave's. Wait, did he say doctor? Dr. Dave's. Is he a doctor? Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4, there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, we hope. Before this show is over, life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because Don said I could, that's why. Ha! Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. What to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. I still think that's a lot of milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk hope with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there, here it is. Okay, we've asked this before, and we're asking again because I want to get more responses. How's that for a question for you? Here it is. There's only 12 to choose from. Who is your favorite disciple of the 12? Who is your favorite disciple of the original 12? What? Who's your favorite disciple? I want to know. Hey, if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That would just be sad. Just reach out and give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like talking to a person that you can count on.
Aww.
Aww. Thank you, David. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you, my friend. How are you doing today? You running around like a chicken with your head cut off or doing a little better than that?
A little bit better. Not today.
Okay.
Not running around today, but having a good day so far.
All right. That's good to hear. Here it is, keeping it simple for you folks. Your question again, who is your favorite disciple? It's okay to have a favorite disciple. Okay, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. Bottom line, if you want to reach out to us, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice coming now. Much more like NPR. Here we go.
214-210-8483.
Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. D-A-V-I-D at the A with a circle. He must increase. From John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. And .org, because we're a nonprofit entity, david@hemustincrease.org. That's the email, 214-210-8483. That's the text, 972-445-0770. That is the number to call. We do have somebody on the line. I don't know what it's about, but we'll find out soon enough. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Rosalyn. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rosalyn. How are you doing?
I am enjoying the wild ride that God is taking me on.
I understand that at every element. How about that? I fully embrace that and understand you.
I wanted to share a praise, a prayer request, and then a kind of a general share.
Okay.
And if I go too long, tell me to shush, and I'll call back another day.
All right. Now, wait. Before you start, let me tell you that tomorrow, in the later part of the show, we will be replaying our interview regarding Petra. So I wanted to make sure you knew that that was in the schematics as of today. And we'll be replaying that Petra interview. I wanted you to be aware of that. It'll be sometime in the second 60 minutes. But now that I've said that, we'll open it up. You have the opportunity to share a praise report and a prayer request. Whichever direction you want to go first, I'll leave it in your capable hands. Fire away.
Okay, thank you. Well, I wanted to share something that happened to me a few weeks ago, and it's been on my heart to call, and there's just so much going on. But I really feel like it's important to share this. I was reading Mark chapter 3, verses 28 to 29, where it's talking about blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And as I was reading it, I had a very kind of frightening experience. You know, the TV shows or the cartoons where you suddenly have the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder?
Yep. Yep,
it
yep.
was just like that. I read that verse, and this thought popped into my head, and it was the devil saying, go ahead and blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Nothing's really going to happen. It's okay. God's not really going to hold it against you. We're just going to see what happens, and you know, and then say you're sorry. Besides, you know, your salvation is secure. It's no big deal. Just go ahead, right? And then the next thought that popped into my head was God telling me, no, you must not test the Lord your God. And I had this kind of image in my head of me standing before God on his throne and trying to come up with an explanation of like, oh, well, you know, I really didn't mean it. You know, it was just kind of a test. And I was like, no, why would you even want to go that direction? That's craziness. And then it occurred to me, you know, this thought that of the devil telling me, go ahead and blaspheme the Holy Spirit and go ahead and do it. It's like when he told Eve to eat the fruit because nothing really bad was going to happen, right? You've been talking, I've been going back and listening to all the Genesis since it started about, oh, you know, you're not really going to die. It was the same kind of thing. The devil was telling me, go ahead and do it. Nothing bad's going to happen. And then, you know, I was thinking, like, well, wait a minute. God doesn't have favorites. If I were to do something like, I don't even know how to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, but let's pretend I made an attempt, right? He's not going to let it slide just because it's me. So no, you wouldn't do it. And then the last thought I had was, you know, the devil kind of persuades us and convinces us to do bad things, and then he leaves us holding the bag, right? We're the ones facing the consequences. He doesn't, ultimately he's going to face the consequences, but right now he doesn't face anything, but he's, you know, he puts us into positions where we suffer the consequences, and then he just kind of slithers away.
That's
and so
right.
I had never really thought that it could be kind of dangerous reading your Bible. I always thought it was, you know, your place of refuge. But, you know, I realized you actually have to put on your armor of God even when you're reading the Bible because you can still be attacked.
That is 100% correct. Did you know that is theologically correct? In fact, Adam and Eve were attacked when they had no sin. There was no sin for them to be attacked with. It was just the suggestion. And based on their full innocence, they fell in that process. Isn't that just amazing? They didn't have any sin. So when, listen to this, when Jesus said, the enemy is coming, he has nothing in me, Jesus is making reference to the point that Satan had no inroad. Well, when Adam and Eve were in the garden before they sinned, Satan had no inroad. But they listened to the suggestion, and that's what brought the sin. So that can happen anywhere. Wow. What did you think when that happened?
I was really scared. I was really nervous. It's like the little hairs on my arm were kind of sticking up. But I just had this really creepy encounter. And it's like, I don't know what to do with that other than I want to write it down because I didn't want to forget it. And I wanted to share it because I all this time of reading my Bible, I had never experienced something like that. And so I want to make sure I didn't forget it. And I wanted other people to be aware that that's something that could happen.
All right. I'm gonna bounce off that. Can you hang on for a little bit? I want to bounce off that for a second because it's really an important point. Okay. When you're engaging in the Word of God, the devil desires to distract us from the Word of God because it is the Word of God that is the truth, and that is our weapon. The more he can distract us, the more he can veer us off, the more he can challenge us to challenge the Word. That's him recruiting people to sin so that those people who sin can be in rebellion against God, and that way Satan can rob God of praise and Satan can claim some form of victory. Okay, that's a normal process. And for people to understand this, even though ultimately in Armageddon, what will happen is this actual war between good and evil, there is a constant Armageddon taking place in your mind. The biggest battlefield on earth right now is between your left and right ear. And what happens is the influences of hell gather together and fight on one side, and the influences of heaven gather together and fight on the other side, and the battlefield is our mind. And what the enemy wants to do is take territory in our mind, which is why the scripture tells us to cast down every thought and imagination that is contrary to Christ. That's where the war comes in. That's where a daily Armageddon takes place. What you've encountered, though, demonstrates that you're becoming a concern because the devil doesn't bother people who are not concerning. See? And so now it's like, uh-oh, this person's getting a little close. Gotta start veering off and get it to the other direction. Now, don't misunderstand. That doesn't stop you from reading the Word. That doesn't stop the truth from penetrating into your heart. Satan can't stop that other than to distract you and get your mind going in a different direction. Satan can't answer prayers that you offer to God or nobody would ever get saved. Okay, so that's just ridiculous stuff. What the devil tries to do is veer you off course. That's his goal. And so when I come in and pray in the morning, and I come in, I read my Bible, I ask the Lord to just pull everything away, put the walls up, let me focus in on what he's saying, let me hear what he's got to say, let me stay, stable in the Word of God. And if I read something and it doesn't process, you know what I do? I read it again. And if I'm still sensing the warfare, I read it again. And if I'm still sensing the warfare, I read it again. If I have to read it 50 times, that's exactly what I'll do. That's how you keep, because the truth breaks the power of the lie, and the engagement with God breaks the power of the enemy. That's why it says, submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the enemy, resist Satan, and he will flee from you. You have to resist, but the way to do that is you have to submit to God. It's God's power in you that gives you the ability to resist. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay, that's
so
good.
Keep going on it.
So it's important for you to grasp. The whole process that you went through. So this is what we call spiritual warfare. And I find it funny. I'm not trying to belittle anybody. So nobody take this that way. But spiritual warfare takes place all the time. People just don't identify it as spiritual warfare. They just think, oh, well, I was distracted, or this happened, or this call came at the most inopportune time. Really? It came at the most inopportune time? Don't you think that's funny? I mean, that's part of this process. So we're fighting for a spiritual gaining of territory in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives, and the devil is just trying to throw us off track to keep us sidelined. And then at some point, as you're doing kingdom work, he wants you just to stop doing kingdom work, so he throws a whole bunch of things at you continually so that you'll have to focus on those things, so you won't have the energy to focus on the other. This is part of the warfare. This is why the battle armor that's talked about in Ephesians 6 has to go on every day, or we're going to lose territory somewhere between the left and right ear and somewhere in our hearts. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. There you go. Now, yes. With that, did you have a prayer request, or is that?
It had a part two, kind of. It's a praise mixed with the request.
Okay.
And
fire
it's kind of really it's related. Do you still have time?
For you, we will make the time.
Thank you, David. Okay. So yesterday, you're not going to believe this. Okay. So I got in the Uber to go to school, right? And the Uber driver, he starts talking to me about different things, you know, kind of complaining about how, just different cultural things or whatever. And then he kind of starts with about something about challenges and God and asking, do I ask God for things? I said, well, yes, but, God doesn't mean I'm going to get it. And he's like, no, if you're obedient to God, God will give you what you want. I said, no, that's not true. I said, God is not a magic genie. I said, I can ask God for things, but that doesn't mean I'll get them. And I told him, I said, for example, I begged God to take this cancer out of me. And God said, no. And I said, but you know what? God gave me all sorts of other miracles, even though he said no to that request. I said, so it's not, I ask God for this and he gives it to me. Well, so that started a 3-hour discussion. He was trying to convert me to Islam, and I was telling him about Jesus. I said, no, this is what I believe about Jesus and God. You know, this started in the Garden of Eden. And, you know, it was perfect. And then the serpent came in, the sin was introduced, and then there was a separation from God. And the only way for us to be with God, because God is pure and holy, he can't deal with sin, it was for him to send his son, Jesus, to come and die for us on the cross and to save us from our sins. And we can be with Jesus and God if we just believe that Jesus died for us. And so I shared with him the gospel. And, you know, so the whole thing was crazy. I mean, I told him, I said, no, because he thought I was crazy because I said, Jesus is alive. And he's like, no, what are you talking about? Jesus isn't alive. He's like somewhere. He doesn't believe that Jesus died. I said, Jesus is right here beside me in this car. I'm literally pointing to the seat. I'm like, he is right here with me. And he asked me, well, how do you know that Jesus is there? And then he kind of quickly moved on to something else. And I didn't quite know how to answer that question. It's like, well, how do I know he's there? I believe he's there, but how do I show to someone who's not a believer that Jesus is right here with me? And so it was, you know, I made it to the school parking lot, but I never got out of the car. I prayed. I said, okay, God, if you want me here to have this conversation, I am here. It's okay. I don't have to go to my class. It's fine. So 3 hours with this man, talking to him back and forth, and he was telling me about Islam, and I was telling him about Jesus, and no, this is what we believe. And it's so, I don't know how to describe it. It's like almost how insidious, how deceptive and intelligent the devil is, because the man was telling me all these stories in the Quran, and there's glimpses of truth, and then it gets so twisted and corrupt. Like, he has an Adam and Eve story, but it's not like our Adam and Eve story. He believes that Adam and Eve, that they, once they sinned, that the separation was Adam and Eve, that Adam went into one country, Eve went to another country. I said, no, it was the because of the sin, the fellowship from God, that's what was broken. We were not able to be with God because of our sin. That's where the problem is. And that's why Jesus had to come and rescue us and save us. And so I guess the long story short, he finally brought me back home because, well, the class.
That was a nice Uber ride.
And Robert's calling me, are you on your way? I said, well, I'm in the Uber car. I never got off. So he brought me back home, and so we exchanged numbers, and so he wants me to meet his wife, and of course I want him to meet Robert, and he's like, oh, he was so excited because, and I told Robert, I said, you know, I came home and I told Robert all about it, and I said, he's having this exact same conversation with his wife tonight, saying, oh, I'm getting this person to, I'm trying to convert her to Islam, and I'm trying to convert him to Christianity, and so it's just kind of crazy, you know, if I got put together, but he was so excited that I was willing to engage him and talk with him and listen, because he said, you know, there's so many people that I try, so he tries to tell them about Islam, and that they just say, no, I'm not interested, no, I have my own beliefs, I don't want to know anything, but apparently they don't engage him or try to tell him about Jesus, I guess, because the things I was telling him, it was news to him. He'd never heard these things before. And so I was just, you know, very grateful that God let me be in that situation to talk with this man. And it's pretty astonishing to me. It's almost like it's its own little ministry, me riding in this Uber every week and something different. And it just kind of shows the faithfulness of God, because I don't know if you remember when I called early in January and I said, what I really want so much for this year is for God to just use me however he wants. And so far in January, February, and March, twice a month, there have been two different people each month, so six people total now, where I've been able to in some way share the gospel or share something about God with them. And it's always been them asking me, not me going to them. And it's like this man, he just started up the conversation, and bam, there it went. And so I guess my second question to you is, how do I, in talking with this man, how do I show him about Christianity, or how do I share the gospel when he believes basically everything, only the Quran is true, and it's almost like the devil was, he was prepared, and he knew to say in the Quran that Jesus allegedly said, people are going to later on say, I am the Son of God, but that's not true. So know ahead of time that that's going to be false.
Right.
Kind of like in our Bible, how there are things that Jesus said, I'm telling you now, so later on you know it's false.
Gotcha.
It's the same kind of thing, but it's all twisted.
All right, let me answer that, and then I'm going to pray for you, because our time is a little tight right now. So okay. A couple things. Number one, the truth is all you need. Okay, here's what it says. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The truth is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. It's not your job to save him. It's your job to just present the truth. He has another form of truth, but it's a polluted truth. It's a demented truth, right? The devil's right. Had a lot of time to coordinate against people, philosophies, right from the very beginning until now, to pervert philosophies. There's many, many things that you can bring up, but instead of attacking where he's coming from, and it's not that it's wrong depending on the way the conversation goes, but instead of attacking that, promote where you're coming from. Instead of telling him why he's wrong, tell him why you're right. Tell him what the Lord has done for you. Tell him how the power of God has changed your life. Tell him how people have been affected. Tell him how God has touched you and put you in this place and answered prayer after prayer. Tell him about the things the Lord has done in your life. For him to see, I'm just going to say this right now, for him to see in the realm that we see, he's going to have faith to be able to see. You don't get to see and then believe. You are required by God to operate in faith first, then he opens your eyes. That's how the Christian faith operates. So I've only got a minute and a half, and I want to pray over you, and for you and Robert. But the best tactic is to promote exactly what God has done in your life and how you have used the truth, and the truth works. That's what you do. Okay? You understand that?
Yes, thank you.
All right, let me pray over you. Father, we come before you right now, and Lord, this is Spiritual Warfare 101, Lord. We know and you know. So first let me say thank you. Thank you for the encounter that Rosalind had. Thank you that it went well. Thank you that Lord, somebody in this man's life has actually told him things that are about the gospel and about the truth. And we thank you for that. And we pray that those seeds would take hold in this man's life. And Lord, we pray that you would pour your Holy Spirit on Robert and on Rosalind as they engage, and they would stand faithfully in your truth, not being afraid, even if this person doesn't yield and submit to you, that they stand in the truth. Robert and Rosalind stand in your truth. And your word tells us that the right time, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Luke 12:12 is where you tell us that. Give her the right words, bless their encounters, keep them wise, keep them safe, and guide them. And let all of us be willing to answer the questions on why we love you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, Rosalind, I only got 10 seconds, so I got an 86.
Okay, so, thank you.
God bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, kind of a different intro. We love that. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Bibles are very cool looking. You can have them electronically. You can have them in your phone. You have them in your computer. There's tons of apps. There's also cool looking book Bibles. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. It's great. Here's the bottom line. All that's fancy and fantastic and useless if you don't read it and believe it and process it. For those that are trying to figure out, first of all, well, why is it that the Bible is its own unique entity? I mean, what's the deal in that? Well, the same breath that went into creating Adam, which was creating creation of man, that same breath went into the Bible. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. That's the breath of God. And the breath of God that went into Adam is the breath of God that goes into the book, which is why this is a unique book. And then people are get really upset, and they go, well, hold on now. Hold on now, Dave. The problem there is, you know, that there's just so many people that have been a part of writing the Bible. In fact, there's about 40 authors spanning about 3,000 years in all different types of positions in life. But here's the great thing about Christian faith. If you believe that God created the universe, you're going to step out on that big ledge and go, well, if he created the universe, he can probably write a book. Well, the amazing part about the book itself is not just the self-proclamations of the book, but you get into the prophecies, and it's an amazing, amazing element that every single prophecy has been fulfilled exactly, and yet there are some to come, and we will see those fulfilled. But while you're engaging in the Word of God, here's something you need to be aware of that Christians do not recognize. That word where it says, for the Word of God is alive, is zone in the Greek. If we were doing a Greek word, that'd be zone. And that word means alive, to live. Jesus used that word in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, where he says, behold, I am alive, and I live forevermore. Same word. And the Word of God is alive. And you think, well, this is just a book. It is just a book, except for when you're reading the Word of God and the Holy Spirit connects you to the Word of God, it becomes something altogether different.